Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed.
Yes, it's true. On national television, Pastor Joel Osteen is on record as saying homosexuality is sin. But did he preach the full gospel message? And can you dislike the sin and yet inspire the sinner? We'll talk about it today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
I am not talking about President Obama's State of the Union message last night simply because there are others better qualified to talk about it than I. But you get the point. There are plenty of others that have given comments on it, although I was intrigued by Dennis Prager's observation that the cameraman seemed to avoid In God We Trust. I didn't see the actual broadcast, read some of the transcripts, but that's another issue. I do want to focus on an interview that'll be on TV tonight, the British gentleman who has replaced Larry King on the former Larry King Live, interviewing Pastor Joel Osteen. We're going to play some clips of this because they're already out and already being talked about, and we are not going to attack a man. We're not going to attack a brother. We are going to talk about what he said, whether he did well or not, whether he was being set up, whether he represented things in a way that was best. We want to do this constructively to learn together on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Or, better yet, go to Facebook and weigh in right now while you're waiting to hear the clips, because I want you to hear some things before I ask you some questions, and then you can begin to call in. But you can actually hear some of the comments already at Facebook. Ask Dr. Brown, ask Dr. Brown. Oh, one other reason to go to the Facebook page. As you know, a few months back, Dr. James White and I debated Sir Anthony Buzzard, Mr. Joseph Good, on the question of the deity of Jesus and God's triune nature. And I have to say, just as I believe the scriptures are fairly one-sided on this issue, the debate, I believe, was fairly one-sided because there were a couple of us participating, four in total, but two on our side, and because we got so many responses about it, I feel clearly to say that the consensus was overwhelmingly that we had presented the biblical side of the argument. Well, some folks, I don't know if they're directly involved with either of these two gentlemen that were on the other side. I know there's a link to one of the websites of one of the gentlemen involved. It plays little bits of clips of what I had to say. One of them out of context. It's not damaging context anyway. Little clips, and then this ominous music in the background and statements that allegedly refuted. It's really funny. I mean, it shows how badly the other side did when you have to come up with something like that. And even then, watching it, you're like, you got to be kidding me. But check it out. It's on the Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. Okay, so let me play the beginning of this clip. I'm going to jump in a few times and discuss some things, and then I want to get your feedback. Again, I do not want your opinion on Pastor Joel Osteen. I'm not asking you to call in and say, well, he's a that. No. We just want to talk constructively about things that are airing on national television so that we can understand how the world is perceiving things and understand how perhaps all of us could do things better or things we could learn from Pastor Osteen or where we might differ with his approach. So let's start the clip, Joey.
One of the moral mazes for any preacher, I think, a Christian preacher in particular, is homosexuality. And there's been lots of coverage in the news recently, the Don't Ask, Don't Tell campaign, obviously. What is your view? Because it seems to have changed depending on the interview that I've read or seen. What is your view? Is homosexuality a sin in your eyes?
Yes, I've always believed, Pierce, the scripture shows that it's a sin. But, you know, I'm not one of those that are out there to bash homosexuals and tell them that they're terrible people and all that. I mean, there are other sins in the Bible, too. I think sometimes the church, and I don't mean this critically, but we focus on one issue or two issues, and there's plenty of other ones. So I don't believe his homosexuality is God's best for a person's life. I mean, sin means to miss the mark. But I don't believe being prideful or being, you know, lying or cheating.
You don't normally talk about sin. That's the first time I've actually heard you spell it out.
Well, you know,
it's almost like you've come ready for that question and thought, I'm actually going to say this.
Well,
I'm going to say it's a sin.
I think I'm grown in my knowledge. I mean, those first interviews, I mean, this was all new to me. I mean, I didn't go to seminary. I was raised in this, but not in front of the camera. But I think this point, people say I don't talk about sin, but I do talk about how we live our life and making good choices. And at the end of every one of our services, I talk about, I believe, the greatest sin, and that's to miss the mark of not knowing your Creator through Christ.
All right, let me jump in here. So, okay, first thing is, he does say plainly, flatly, homosexuality is a sin. And it does get the interviewer's attention because he uses the sin word. And so he addresses it forthrightly with the amount of pressure that he'd be under to compromise that view or to say something differently. That was the clearest I've heard. I haven't analyzed all of his messages or listened to all of his interviews. But to say that on national TV, knowing how the thing is going to play out, and that'll be the soundbite, Joel Osteen says homosexuality is sin. I was pleased that he said that, and that, yes, he said it's not the only sin. There are other sins. And as I've often pointed out, the reason I make a major issue out of it is because of gay activism and because of the assault on the family and because of the assault on our culture by people who believe they're doing right and believe they're fighting for equality and tolerance in their own rights, etc. And I profoundly would say they are doing wrong. But he does say homosexuality is sin, and we'll find out the reason for it in a moment in terms of he's talking about the scriptures and it's not God's best, but I want you to hear a statement he's going to make about the importance of the scriptures in a moment. Now, again, you might not like his preaching. You might say he doesn't use the Bible. He misuses the Bible. I understand that. We're just taking this interview in and of itself, and we're going to analyze it constructively with some comments in particular on the back side of the segment that we are going to play. Now, the only thing that I think it's important we clarify is homosexual practice is sin. In other words, it's somewhat ambiguous to say homosexuality is sin. What does that actually mean? Does that mean being attracted to the same sex? Does that mean acting on those attractions? Does that mean affirming those attractions? So I think it's very important that we say you may have an attraction all your life, as far back as you can remember. You may remember being attracted to the same sex, but you can say, I know those attractions are wrong, and I renounce them. I don't give way to them. I don't fantasize about them. I don't act on them. I don't pursue them. I know they are not God's will for my life, and with his help, I'm working against them, or I'm simply saying no to them. That's one thing. Then homosexuality, in terms of the desire, the attraction, no, that's not sin. That's just part of being a fallen human being in a fallen, broken world. However, affirming those attractions or giving place to those attractions or acting on those attractions, homosexual practice is absolutely sin. So we just need to make that point a little bit sharper, and I think it's important that we do that when asked the question. All right, let's continue.
Through
so
Christ.
When you see civil partnerships being sanctioned, you think that's wrong?
Well,
presumably.
Yeah, I think it's wrong, but I'm not going to bash those people. I'm not going to be against those people. They're good people. I say it's wrong because that's what the Scripture says, and you know what? I choose to live my life by what I read in the Scripture.
You see, I mean, if I had, say, a friend of mine like Elton John,
yes,
watching this at home, who with his partner, his civil partner, David Furnish, have just had a surrogate child, which was born on Christmas Day, yeah, they're going to be pretty angry what they hear. They're going to think, who are you to call them a sinner?
Yeah.
Why are they sinners in your eyes?
Well, it's strictly back to what the Scripture says. I mean, I can't grab one part and say God wants you to be blessed and live an abundant life and not grab the other part that says, you know what, you know, live that kind of life. So I just, you know, it comes back to the Scripture. I'm not the judge. You know, God didn't tell me to go around judging everybody.
I'm not so sure, though.
All right, so let me jump in again here. Thanks for catching that. Joey, working with me today on this longer clip. We do want to analyze the comment about civil unions. We do want to analyze the comment about these people are good people. What I want to emphasize, though, that to me is very positive as much as I've heard some of Joel Osteen's preaching and been concerned about the lack of preaching of repentance and many other things that I would hear missing, I understand why he's saying the Bible wants us to have an abundant life and prosper, and I differ on a certain level with much of that emphasis. I also want to say that he's has the platform. If you want to sit there and throw stones at him, you can ask God why God hasn't given you the platform. So that's just other things to think about. But what I appreciate is this. He is saying, if I believe the Bible says that God wants to bless us and give us a good life, okay? You may say it's a health and wealth gospel. You differ with that. That's fine. I understand that. But I appreciate that he says the Bible says one thing, and I hold to the Bible on this. I can't then reject what the Bible says about something else. That means to me that if we can dialogue with our brother and say, hey, look at these other portions of Scripture. What do you think they're saying? Then in his mind, he has to be captive to what's written in Scripture. So that to me is a positive viewpoint. As many have said, hide behind the word. Say, this is not my viewpoint. This is what Scripture says. All right, back with more. It's going to get a little dicier in a moment. It's fire we want, for fire. Thanks for joining us, friends, on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, talking about Pastor Joel Osteen's interview that will air tonight, not judging the man, not questioning his motives, not even looking at the larger message he preaches, but analyzing his interview on what would have been Larry King Live, but now with a new host. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org, where there's also a link to the interview, the Joel Osteen interview. This is on the Line of Fire website. Okay, before I get back to the interview, my friend Lori Higgins at the Illinois Family Institute has pointed out that this week is no name-calling week and in the schools, in case you haven't heard about that. And listen to what Lori says. She's a former educator herself. There are approximately 180 days in a typical school year, and it appears that homosexual activists and their ideological compatriots would like to spend part of each and every one on homosexual indoctrination. We've got the Day of Silence, which is sponsored by the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, Spirit Day, sponsored by the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, Ally Week, sponsored by GLSEN, also Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, National Coming Out Day, sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign, the Transgender Day of Remembrance, sponsored by the Human Rights Campaign, and GLBT History Month, which is endorsed by virtually every homosexuality-affirming organization. It might just be easier to have a federal law mandating daily homosexual affirmations that can replace the ever so unpopular nano moments of silence. I mean, it's true. There's never enough, because ultimately there must be full acceptance, not only acceptance, but full approval of homosexuality. And anything less than that is not acceptable. By the way, I've pointed out in the past that the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, GLSEN, would be better named the Gay, Lesbian, Sexual Education Network, based on the material that they're getting into the hands of kids, and that GLAAD, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, would be better called the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Disagreement, because all disagreement is basically forbidden. There is no other side to the story. The interview now with Pastor Joel Osteen gets in the question of judging. He is there with his wife, and the question comes up, okay, if you say certain people are sinners, aren't you judging them? Now, he's just said why he doesn't agree with civil unions. They're not God's best. Of course, in that setting, you know, there's a lot going through your mind. You never know exactly. Afterwards, you can think, I could have said this, I could have said that. So we're all just sitting here discussing it. But we're discussing this not to say, well, you know, I give them a score of this or that, but to step back and say, what's a good response to this? And of course, it's very, very important for us to emphasize how foundational, how right, how proper, how beautiful male-female relationships are, and how God intended a man to be with a woman and the woman to be with a man, and why that is the foundation of family and human life and society, not just that civil unions are bad or that they're second best. So again, I'm not saying that to criticize what he said, but I'm saying this is a very important time, a very, very important time to insert why male-female relationships are so critical, so important, so foundational, and even to question, okay, Elton John's partner had a baby. Come on, had a baby. through surrogate mother. They've chosen not even to know which man fertilized the egg. Okay, so who the actual biological father is. So this kid will grow up not knowing who their real biological father is, never knowing who their biological mother is in all likelihood, and guaranteed to not have a mother. Guaranteed. It's a good time to ask the question, so which is dispensable? Mom's dispensable, we don't need moms. Or dads are dispensable, we don't need dads. And does anyone think about the well-being of that kid? This was not a handicapped child in an orphanage that allegedly no one would adopt, and a gay couple said, well, we'll care for this kid because no one else will care for this kid. This is someone that was brought into the world specifically to be the child of Elton John and his partner. We need to point out the wrongness of that very arrangement, and without saying that the people involved are, quote, good people, because outside of the Lord, none of us are good, but that's another point. Okay, back to the interview.
Around judging everybody.
I'm not so sure, though, you see. I think you are a kind of judge, and I think you can't abrogate that responsibility. I think because of your influence, there's 7 million, 8 million viewers every Sunday. When you say things like homosexuality is a sin, it's a big statement to make. You are a judge, and you're encouraging your congregation to believe
that. It's the people that we're after. We're not looking at their sin. We're not trying to judge their sin. We're trying to encourage them and let them know that we love them, and that, you know what, you're only gonna reach people by reaching out to them.
Yeah, but I'm curious.
And you know, like if Elton John was sitting here today, I'd say, I love you, Elton John. You are talented.
Well, I can tell you, he's not gonna say the same.
Yeah,
but he's not gonna say to you, I don't like the way you lead your lives.
Well, what I'm saying is, we're not judging the person.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why you say that, you know, he's not saying sin, but it's like,
but you are judging the person, aren't you? Aren't you?
Well, to me, I'm not the one to judge and say, you know, who's bad and who's good. Otherwise, you'd have to go through everybody, you know, every one of us, and say, well, you know what, I got some pride, or I had an evil thought the other day. Those are sins too. I don't know that God is judging sins on different levels, but we pick out that one. So, I mean, our message, if you listen to my message, they're about lifting people up, and so it's not. I mean, I really talk about the homosexuality when we get on the interviews.
Yeah, but I'm curious, what would you say to a homosexual watching this? What do you do? How do they change? What do they have to do to change to be better people?
Well, I believe I don't know that I understand it all. I believe it's a process, but I believe that God can give us grace to change. We've seen people break addictions and do other things as well. So.
Yeah, but addictions, I mean, look, I don't want to bang on about this, but an addiction to alcohol or drugs or something is one thing. You know, being gay, you're gay. There's not much you can do about it. It's not something. I mean, I don't believe it's something you choose to be. I don't think Elton John woke up one day and went, I think I quite fancy being gay today.
Yeah. You know? I don't know. So I don't
isn't
know.
It, isn't it? It's much harder than just an average addiction.
Yeah, I don't, it is. It is. It's a difficult issue. I don't understand all the answers, but I just come back to what I read in the scripture. I can't ignore that. I'm saying it again. I don't know that I understand it all. But I come back to this, we're for people. It's not going to do any good to, you know, bash people and say you're second class or you're this. I'm not, you know, we have gay people that come to our church and sit there. We have people from different faiths. And so it's an issue that, you know, it's a hard issue, and I don't know that I fully understand it.
All right. I appreciate the humility and also saying that he has grown through the interviews and, you know, he didn't know what was coming in the earlier days, et cetera. So we are not going to sit here and say, well, he's truly humble. He's not humble. He's this. We want to talk about the substance of what was said. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What do you think was said well? Where do you think opportunities were missed? What do you think could have been said differently? And is it possible to, as someone has now put it, dislike the sin but inspire the sinner? What would Jesus do? What would Paul say? Those are questions we want to take up constructively. 866-34-TRUTH. Again, there's a lively discussion taking place on Facebook, and I'll read some of the comments on our Ask Dr. Brown page. Also have some notes from Chaplain Klingenschmidt regarding some of the changes in the military and what that's going to do to freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Back with all that on the other side of the break. Come, let me try to come and send a revolution. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us, talking about Pastor Joel Osteen's interview that'll air tonight, but parts of it already available online with Piers Morgan, who took over for Larry King. 866-34-TRUTH, online, AskDrBrown.org. Before we go to the phones, another reminder, if you live in the greater Charlotte area, so you're within a couple hours of Charlotte, many of our listeners and our stations in the North Carolina, South Carolina area, by all means, come up this weekend, Friday night, 7 o'clock, Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. I'll be preaching a series of messages. We really want to encounter God and be changed so we can go and change the world. This will be at Fire Church right near the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So for info, just go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on itinerary. And please, if you come this weekend and you're one of our listeners we've never met before, introduce yourself before or after one of the meetings again, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Hopefully you can come. And as much as we preach a wake-up call face-to-face, we expect God to meet us and stir us so that we can be changed and have an answer for the world. By the way, one other question for you. Those that heard the interview in the first half of the show, how did you feel about the interviewer? What was your take? Do you feel he was being hostile, or do you feel he was being fair? Piers Morgan, as he was doing this interview, do you feel he was being hostile to Joel Osteen, or do you feel that he was being fair with Joel Osteen? Just wondering about your opinion as you listen. 866-34-TRUTH. Mark in Alabaster, Alabama, thank you for calling, sir.
Hey, bless you, Mr. Brown. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. Hey, well, I have a response to the question you asked. What would Jesus say to that or think of that?
Yes.
And I can only think about that the opportunity. The gentleman said that he had television 6 million, 8 million viewers. I think that he missed an opportunity, first of all, for the deliverance of the power of Jesus and not just the blood. And I also would say that I would believe that Jesus would say, as your book that you have written is, our hands are stained with blood. I would say that these people's bloods are on your hand. And then I would also say that another great book that you wrote is Time to Rock the Boat. I think that Jesus and Paul and everybody would say, listen, Joel, listen, preachers of the feel-good faith, it's time to stand up and rock the boat.
So in your mind, things could have been said and should have been said differently in a context like that, and that's part of our gospel responsibility.
Yes, I believe it is. And as a man that has the platform, as Joel Osteen has, is to reach, you know, millions of people, he has to realize that, hey, wait a minute, even if you didn't go to seminary, you've been raised in church. That means you know the truth, and you should know the word. And for you to stand there and have a feel-good message means that you're washing away the blood. You're adding more water than you are holiness. You're adding more fakeness than you are the light. I mean, how can you be the light if you're always covering yourself with a lampshade?
All right. Hey, Mark, thank you for weighing in, and thanks for the endorsement of the books there. Didn't expect that. Appreciate it, man.
Yes. God bless, my friend.
All right. By the way, my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, is very, very relevant to this issue, and it's been republished together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God, two books in one. You can get it at our website. Let me take you to an interesting scripture here. In Acts, the 24th chapter, Paul's in prison. Acts 24:24, after some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who is Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Messiah Jesus, faith in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to point something out. What we do know from Josephus, the prominent Jewish historian whose writings have been preserved from the first century, from everything that we understand, Felix broke the laws of the day to have Drusilla as his wife. Technically, you could say it was illicit, and even though they were married, it was an adulterous marriage. All right? Others would say she was kind of his trophy wife. So notice this. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. Isn't that fascinating? As Paul is preaching to Felix about faith in Jesus, what does Paul speak about? Righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment, and Felix gets shake. Go wait for the president. When I get an opportunity, I'll summon you. He's afraid of the prisoner because the prisoner is talking to him about righteousness, self-control, and the coming judgment. And this man is involved in an illicit affair. Listen, if people don't get mad at us for speaking the truth, no matter how meekly and gently and graciously we do it, no matter how lovingly we do it, if they don't get mad at us for speaking the truth, we're probably not really speaking the truth to enough people. There will be offense. There will be anger. That people get crucified to this day, if not physically crucified, killed, because they shine the light in dark places. So if I was sitting with Elton John, he might be very mad at me. Look, if I just said, hey, I believe the Bible is God's word, Jesus is the only way, that's going to get people mad at you. You said it to a Muslim. You said it to a religious Jew. You said it to someone else. The fact that people are going to get mad at us, I can say, look, I'm not passing judgment on your humanity. I'm simply saying by God's standard, you fall short. And I fall short, which is why I've come to him for forgiveness through the blood of Jesus and why I've come to him to change me so that I can live according to his standards. 866-34-TRUTH. Donna in Lexington, North Carolina. So what did you think about Piers Morgan, his questions?
How you doing, Dr. Brown? I enjoy your program. I call all the time.
Personally,
Dr. Brown, I think that Mr. Morgan was kind of like egging Pastor Osteen on. It's like his answer. It was like he was kind of like pushing him to say, you know, trying to get him kind of stirred up. I feel like he was doing that. And whether that's part of his job or, you know, whether or not that's part of the interview. But, I mean, Pastor Osteen, even though he said it, you could still hear him saying it in a, you know, just want to make peace and, you know, and justify it. And, you know, but Mr. Morgan, to me, in my opinion, was just egging it on, like, you know, just trying to get them ruffled up to see, you know, push buttons with them. That's just the way I interpret it when I
got
listen
it.
To it.
All right. Hey, I appreciate you weighing in, Donna, very much. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. How did you take it? You listened to the interview. How did you feel about the questions? How did you feel about the answers? I want to say this again. I'm being very careful because I'm hesitant to do something like this because I don't want people sounding off and about brothers in the Lord, okay? Unless I hear someone fundamentally denying the gospel, I will say that that person is a brother or a sister, okay? So we're not going to, I don't want to have a forum where people are going to call in and bash someone. However, I think it's very important for us to listen to what was spoken and then to say, okay, what kind of responses were these? And are there better responses? Are there things that we can learn from this? Again, let me say that it's positive to often use the term, hide behind the scriptures. I think it's very positive to do that, to say, okay, look, I'm not giving you my views. Look, based on scripture, this is God's word. I believe this is God's word. Jesus said this. The word says this. The scriptures teach this. That's what I'm holding to. And I found the wisdom of God's word, and I have no reason to question the rightness of God's word. We don't have to make it impersonal. Yes, I believe everything that's written here, but I've got to tell you what Jesus said. One of my evangelist friends said, if Larry King asks, you know, is Jesus the only way? Open the Bible, take him to Jesus' word, and say, Larry, read these. What do you think these mean? It's good to hide behind the scriptures, but are we hiding behind the full counsel of God? Are we really saying what Jesus said? Does the gospel bring offense? Back with more. Hey, folks, welcome back to the Line of Fire. We are constructively discussing, analyzing Pastor Joel Osteen's comments that will be on what used to be Larry King Live tonight, Piers Morgan. If you'd like a link to look at the video, go to askdrbrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. There's a link to that. A link also to my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat and Whatever Happened to the Power of God. Do you feel the questions were fair, or do you feel that they were hostile? Do you feel, again, we're not judging the man. We are not judging the larger issue of Pastor Joel Osteen's message. We're simply analyzing what he said on the air constructively. If I could sit with him face to face, I would do this constructively the same way. So there's nothing hostile or critical. As much as I would have issues with other parts of his message or things that are absent in his message, I'm focusing on this particular interview. And I've got a few thoughts I'm going to give before the show is out, but let me grab some more calls here. First, Bill in Asheboro, North Carolina. Thank you for calling.
It is.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah, you're on the air.
Bill Moore. Yeah,
hey, Bill.
This is Bill Moore from Asheboro, North Carolina.
Hello.
Hey there.
Go ahead.
You made the comment in dealing with homosexuals. And the reason I was really alerted to it, I've had friends that walk that life, and I've had to confront them. And, you know, we say judge or not judge, but the Word of God judges all of mankind to do what is right or wrong, just like a stoplight tells us to stop or a green light tells us to go. And it says in Scripture in Romans 1, verse 26, 27, and 28, regarding men and women laying with one another, that it is sin, and describes it out that it's an abomination to God. And we can choose to listen to Scripture and abide in it. And when Joel mentioned it, I'm really to have that profound question asked and not coming back with the Word, you know, he made himself vulnerable and not saying, you know, yeah, I don't want to judge, but the Word does. And if we're standing on that, that's what I would have presented in that situation. So
got it.
I wanted to bring that point up.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, Bill. I appreciate the call. Again, I appreciate Joel saying, look, I have to stand by what Scripture said. Now, please don't take me wrong. I'm saying that because so many people are running from this and won't even give a yes and no answer, okay? So many people are compromising so much more on this. So many people won't even say what the Bible says. Well, we don't really know what the Bible says. At least there was a clear statement based on Scripture, this is sin. What a wonderful opportunity to really emphasize that we're all guilty in the sight of God. I remember being on Donahue some years ago, and I'm not flattering myself and criticizing Joel Osteen. I'm just using an example here. Please hear me correctly, okay? When I was on Donahue, when he was back on the air some years ago, and he asked me, you know, Gandhi, does Gandhi go to hell? And I've since thought there's an alternative answer to give as well. But my answer was, if he rejected God's mercy, he's not good enough, you're not good enough, I'm not good enough. We all need God's mercy, otherwise we're lost. That was the gist of my answer. Now, another way to approach it would be to say this. If you're as good as Gandhi, you get in. Just because you have like Gandhi and Mother Teresa, and, you know, like two people in 100 years, people will single out. Like, do they get in? All right, they get in. If you're that good, because nobody, based on their estimation of their lives compared to Gandhi and Mother Teresa, gets in. So, you know, of course, the biblical way to say it, well, if you're as good as Jesus, you get in. But who is? We all fall short. I think, though, what's fundamentally very, very important is to recognize the gospel will cause offense. The gospel does bring separation. The gospel does bring division. No matter how loving, gracious, compassionate we are, no matter how much we follow the nonviolent, non-retaliatory principles of Jesus, the gospel will bring offense. If the world hated him, the world will hate us. Let's not be hated for being foolish. Let's not be hated for being mean-spirited. Let's not be hated for being hypocrites. Let's not be hated for being self-righteous. But let's be hated for identifying with Jesus, for speaking the truth, for standing for righteousness. Light shines and exposes darkness. It exposes sin. Let people be cut to pieces by our words. Let people be shred by our words as we speak the words of truth and pronounce everyone guilty before God by the word of God. And then we offer them the mercy of God. Not mercy because their life is not going well. Not mercy because they've been through a hard life or because they just got fired from their job. No, mercy because we're guilty in the sight of God, deserving of the wrath of God, with no hope and no way to fix it in ourselves. All we can do is plead for mercy. Let the word of God come through our lips and lives in such a way that it universally condemns everyone and then universally offers them eternal life as a gift through faith in Jesus. Back with more.
God of light, hear
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. We have been talking constructively about Pastor Joel Osteen's comments on Piers Morgan's show. He is the replacement for Larry King. And personally, I was not taken, I was not offended in any way by his questions. I understand that you might feel he was trying to set Joel Osteen up, but the persistence of the question, the nature of what he was asking, the nature of what he's asking about homosexuality, what you would say to Elton John, I thought those were all perfectly fair and perfectly legitimate. And as to the idea that no one just comes along and says, you know, I think I'm going to be homosexual. I understand that someone may decide, okay, this is who I am. I'm going to act on it. Others may experiment with different aspects of sexuality, but the vast majority, it's, you know, boy, this, as long as I remember, this is who I am. And then it just comes to the point where they say, okay, I'm going to act on this rather than repress it. But the answer is there are plenty of things in human behavior that we didn't ask for. There are plenty of things in human behavior. You meet people that say, from the earliest memories I have, I wanted to hurt people. I was violent. From the early memories I have, I was only attracted to this, or only attracted to this, or only whatever it is. That in itself doesn't justify anything or make it moral. There's a whole chapter in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, due out in 5 or 6 weeks. Mandatory reading for every listener. That's right, mandatory reading. There's a whole chapter on the born this way argument, where I just analyze it and then just break down. Look, there are people who would say, you know, all their lives has been a propensity to overeating and obesity, and people say you have an obesity gene. Well, we don't have a fat pride parade to celebrate that. We work harder with a person like that to help them get in better shape because we realize obesity is not in their best interest. Same with homosexuality. It's not in their best interest, but that actually crosses a moral line. By the way, according to Chaplain Klingenschmidt, chaplains who can't reconcile with homosexual sin will be separated. This is according to the chaplain, based on a newly released Pentagon plan to purge Christians, entitled Don't Ask, Don't Tell Report Support Plan for Implementation. He says chaplains will have religious freedom only in context of Sunday chapel. A battalion commander, he notes, is relieved of duty for refusing to teach how to respect sin, and on. In other words, there must be affirmation, there must be acceptance and affirmation. Which leads me to my bottom line, friends, which is this. If we are to be unashamed of the gospel, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone else, nor am I judging anyone else's heart, nor am I judging anyone else's calling. I'm making a statement for me and for the rest of us. If we are to be unashamed of the gospel and unashamed of Jesus, that also means we have to be unashamed of the values of Scripture, unashamed of the standards of Scripture, unashamed of what God calls sin, to also call it sin, unashamed to speak of the consequences of sin, and then unashamed to speak of the remedy of sin. To say I'm not ashamed of the gospel does not simply mean I'm not ashamed to talk about Jesus. It means I'm not ashamed of the whole message, that Jesus, in fact, is the only way, that he died for our sins, and that we are a lost, sinful, rebellious race without his mercy and without his grace, and that we only have our hope if we turn to him in repentance and faith and say, wash me, cleanse me, save me, give me a brand new life. It is one thing to say I'm not ashamed of Jesus and to preach a partial Jesus message. Again, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. I'm simply talking for each of us, reminding us what we need to do. Because each of us can preach a Jesus that's important to us. Hey, we can be Messianic Jews and talk about Rabbi Yeshua as a great teacher. Well, that's good, but that's not the whole message. And Jesus who inspires us. Well, that's good, but that's not the whole message. The whole message is we are guilty. Absolutely guilty, completely guilty in the sight of God with no hope, damned by our sins. And there's only one way. Self-improvement will never do it. There's only one way. The blood of Jesus sacrificed for our sins, granting us forgiveness and a brand new life, is the only hope of humanity. Let us not be ashamed of the gospel.